fascinated by World War II history. Maybe it's because my dad was in the army and was stationed in Germany as a peacekeeper after the war. Maybe it's because my dad and I used to sit and watch war movies together on Sunday afternoons when I was a kid growing up. However, when I became a teenager, I kind of lost all that fascination. That was until one of the last years I was in seminary, and that fascination was rekindled. It was rekindled when I read something entitled The Theological Declaration of Barman. And you're sitting there saying, wow, that's a snoozer, isn't it? Right? The Theological Declaration of Barman. It was written prior to World War II by pastors and theologians in Germany who were concerned about the rise of the Third Reich and the influence it was having on the German church. As a result, the declaration was written to help withstand the challenge of the Nazi Party and the German Christians, who saw no concern with a conflict between Christianity and Hitler's ideals. Interesting. A movement sprung up from the grassroots called the Confessing Church. And the Confessing Church wrote this statement, the Theological Declaration of Barman. In it, you see also this banner that was used to represent that statement. There is a swastika which is X'd out as a protest and as a witness against Nazi tyranny and any effort to take the role of God and control of the church. And the fire represents the suffering and death that occurred, but the cross remains and rises up as a witness to who God is in the midst of tyranny. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a German pastor, was serving as a seminary professor in New York City, and he chose to return home to Germany and was a founding member of the Confessing Church. And he stood with those who declared the church's freedom is in Jesus Christ, who is Lord over every area of life, personal, private, church, community, political, national, and international. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was imprisoned at the Flossenbürg concentration camp, and he died a mere 3 or 4 days before that camp was liberated in 1945. He was persecuted for the sake of righteousness. This morning we continue and actually conclude our series on the Beatitudes entitled Character in Crisis, an Honest Conversation. The Beatitudes which are spoken by Jesus are qualities of character which are essential in the lives of those who follow Jesus Christ. They are not qualities that we can pick or choose. They are qualities that define who we are. And so I'd invite you to either to turn in your Bibles or follow along as I read from Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Listen to God's word. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you so much for these words that Jesus spoke. We thank you for the privilege that we have to look at them and to try to understand what that means for us in our culture. And so, Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together, that they might be acceptable in your sight, and that you might help us to live life as you desire us to live. For we ask it in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. Blessed are those who are persecuted. In these last three verses of the Beatitudes, verse 10, 11, and 12, Jesus uses a form of the word persecute. Now, according to the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, persecution is the suffering or pressure, mental, moral, or physical pressure, which authorities, individuals, or crowds inflict on others, especially for opinions and beliefs. The hostility or the ill treatment that Jesus is referencing here is due to one thing and one thing only: righteousness. Followers of Jesus Christ will be persecuted. Not for the way they look, not for their shortcomings, not for their faults, but for doing what is right. That is, living, believing, and speaking in ways that honor Jesus Christ and point to God. John Stott, in his book Christian Counterculture, says that the persecution is simply the clash between two irreconcilable value systems. One value system is God-centered or God-focused. The other value system is focused on or centered on anything that is opposed to God. Now, persecution is not a new experience for followers of Jesus Christ. It happened to the prophets. It happened to John the Baptizer. You remember John was imprisoned? Then he got his head cut off. It's interesting to note in these last three verses of the Beatitudes that the tone changes from the third person in verse 10 to the second person in verses 11 and 12. Did you see that change as we read? Jesus was talking to the crowds, and then it's like he turns to his disciples and says, "Oh, by the way, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." It gets pretty personal, doesn't it? Blessed are you. Disciples will not be immune from persecution. Anyone who follows Jesus Christ will not be immune from persecution. This includes us today. Now, I need to be honest with you. I don't know that I like this part. I mean, it doesn't feel good to be insulted. It doesn't feel good to have others say falsely all kinds of evil about us because of Jesus. But Jesus is honest about what may, what can, and what will happen to his followers. Blessed are those who are persecuted. And the persecuted are told to rejoice and be glad. Doesn't that sound a little counterintuitive? I mean, you're being insulted and falsely accused, and Jesus says, rejoice! Be glad! Really? According to the values of this earth and this world, we want to get even. We want to return insult for insult. Somebody does us harm, we want to get them back. You know the old adage, don't get mad, get even. To which Jesus says, no. No. No retaliation. No feeling bad for ourselves. No grinning and bearing it. Rather, when persecution happens, it shows our allegiance to Jesus Christ. We may lose everything on earth, but we gain all the blessings of heaven. In our world today, there are many who are persecuted for the sake of following Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about people rolling their eyes or simply disagreeing with what we think or believe as followers of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about bearing persecution for doing what is right, truthful, and just in the name of and for the sake of Jesus Christ. You may have heard of a ministry called Open Doors. It's a ministry that serves Christians who are persecuted in about 60 countries throughout the world. 60 countries. The ministry was started by someone named Brother Andrew from the Netherlands, and he took Bibles into formerly communist countries. You may have read a book about him called God's Smuggler years ago. Today, Open Doors still exists. And each year they publish a world watch list. It reports on global persecution of Christians, tracking the top 50 countries where this happens. It focuses on the degree of pressure that people receive in church life, community life, family life, political life, and private life. It analyzes violent persecution. The report that has been published for 2020 includes the following. 260 million Christians experience high levels of persecution in the top 50 countries. 260 million. Let that sink in. And that's up 6% from 2019. 9,488 churches or buildings which house Christian functions were attacked. 2,983 Christians were killed for faith-related reasons. And 3,711 Christians were detained without trial, arrested, sentenced, and imprisoned. Staggering. And these brothers and sisters are called to rejoice and be glad. Rejoice and be glad, not in spite of what they experienced, but because of what they experience. You see, they're inheritors of the kingdom of God. They, like the prophets before them, were and are counted worthy to bear the name as a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, we live in a country that's not on the world watch list. And I would hazard a guess that few of us have endured violence or related pressure for being followers of Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean it won't happen. That doesn't mean it couldn't happen. But the question for us is, how would we respond? It's easy for us to sit in a nation where we're free on a Sunday morning to worship. But what about those who aren't free? Did you know the country with the fastest growing church? Iran. Iran. Fastest growing church in the world. A country in which there's persecution. You see, persecution also brings growth. I remember learning years ago in a Sunday school class when they said, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Where the church is persecuted, the church grows. How did the church spread out of Jerusalem after the day of Pentecost? Persecution. Because in Acts 1:8 it said that you will receive the Spirit, and when the Spirit comes, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. If you look in the book of Acts, the church grows through persecution. Blessed are the persecuted. As we've been reading through the Beatitudes, we see the statements that Jesus is making about living a life which is called blessed. What does that look like? Well, the blessing of which Jesus speaks in these Beatitudes is knowing and living in the reality and fullness of God's presence and power. The Beatitudes describe the character of what every disciple is intended to be. And these categories are not things we can pick and choose. I mean, you can't say, well, I think I want to hunger and thirst after righteousness, but when it comes to the peacemaking and the persecution, nah, I think I'll pass on those. This is not a buffet or a potluck. This is something which Jesus calls us to live out each day. Jesus doesn't give us choices. Neither should we assume that we have the authority to make those choices. According to John Stott, the Beatitudes paint a comprehensive portrait of a Christian disciple. A follower of Jesus Christ kneels before Jesus and acknowledges his or her spiritual poverty, being poor in spirit. This reality brings mourning, realizing the fullness that is lacking in life. And then there's meekness, not weakness. Meekness emerges in relationship toward God. And the follower hungers and thirsts for the righteous relationship with God and others. And the follower gets up from being on knees and looks around and sees the community, the human community, realizing that a relationship with Christ does not take one out of the world, but a relationship with Christ allows one to engage with the world and in the world. Mercy is shown to those who are in need. Sincerity marks our relationships and our interactions. Blessed are the pure in heart. Entering into broken and hostile relationships where no one else wants to intervene becomes natural as a peacemaker. And followers of Jesus will not be thanked, but rather opposed, slandered, and persecuted because of the righteousness which comes with knowing Jesus Christ. And we identify with Christ. That's the blessing of living life with and in Jesus Christ. Living as a follower of Jesus Christ has never, ever been easy. But it's always right. And it always will be right. It's right when other people are watching us, and it's right when no one else is watching us but Jesus. It is our call. Blessed are those who truly seek to follow Jesus. We live in a world that longs for something different, something better, something true, something with meaning. And we as followers of Jesus Christ have experienced that. We continue to experience what the world longs for. And so Jesus challenges us to live life the way it was meant to be lived. Jesus challenges us to live life the way it was designed to be lived. And that is something about which we can rejoice and be glad. So as I finish up this morning, I just have a few questions for us. Are we willing to live into the character that Jesus desires to be in us? Are we willing to live into that character as individuals? Are we willing to live into that character as a community of faith? If not, our character may be in crisis, and we may need to have an honest conversation with Jesus. May we be people who know the blessing of living into the character of what Jesus desires for us, not just today, but this week, this month, and for the rest of our lives, that we may give God the glory that belongs only to God, and that we might rejoice and be glad. Let's pray together. Jesus, your call in our lives is not easy. It never has been. You never meant it to be. But it's always right to follow you, to honor you, and to live as you desire. And so, Lord Jesus, we ask that you would be at work in us and through us, that you would cause us to be molded and shaped into people of blessing, people who know your blessing and the fullness of life that is lived only in and through you. We pray this for the people who are here, our members and friends who aren't here. We pray this for our brothers and sisters in churches around this greater community, around our nation, and our brothers and sisters who have lost loved ones because of who you are, the persecuted. Lord, we stand with them because we are all a part of your body. We pray these things in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Amen.